Of the deadly sins, only envy is no fun at all. There's no payoff.
No, there is not. The other sins, gluttony, at least you have tasty food and greed and right. Lots of good things. But envy, there is no payoff, Father. You're absolutely right, but it's true. It's the only one of the sins that makes no one happy. Envy is just a hostile, damaging emotion that hurts everyone.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. As always, let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, through the intercession of St. Ignatius Loyola, we ask that you pour forth your Holy Spirit upon us, a spirit of discernment, that we might hear your voice and obey your command. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, friends, you should know that at every Mass, I pray for an increase in vocations to the religious life and the priesthood. And some people think that's a fool's errand. It's an impossible task. Someone said to me recently, Father, inviting young men to the priesthood is like trying to sell tickets on the Titanic after the leaking has started. The word is out. And that can be discouraging. Priests my age and older look over their shoulder, wondering who's coming up in the ranks, to whom am I going to be able to hand on the torch of the gospel and the sacraments. Happily, some people are taking practical steps to do that. My guest today is a priest from the Archdiocese of Boston, and he has an important new program for promoting priestly vocations. Father Michael Zimmerman, welcome to the Catholic Current.
Thank you, Father. Great to be with you.
Father, you're the program that of reflection and discernment that you're beginning to offer, and we're going to put all the relevant links in our show notes, has a very odd name. Tell us about that, please.
Absolutely. So the name is called Shivias, mm-hmm. which comes from St. Hildegard von Bingen's most famous work. So inspiration, one is the name, is Shivias, the full name, Shivias Domini, know the ways of the Lord. And this is very much about helping people come to know God's way, their path, his plan for their life. But St. Hildegard is also an inspiration because besides being a great, doctor and teaching the faith of the church, she did it in a way that was beautiful. She had visions that inspired great artwork. She composed a lot of very beautiful chant, and we actually use a lot of her chant in this series. So we want to talk about and give good advice and counsel and to tell stories about discernment, but also to do it in a way that's beautiful, with music, with the cinematography, with in a way that kind of shows the beauty of following God's will for people's lives.
Well, I have admired the music of Hildegard for many years. It's you can believe that it was composed by a mystic when you begin to hear it, and the old days of we'll just produce a pamphlet on our mimeograph machine and pass that around. Those days have passed. Or to say to, hey, you've got 8 kids, surely one of them is interested in going to the church. That doesn't happen so much anymore. A lot of different pressures, some of them church-related, some of them related to the world, have mitigated people actually considering religious and priestly vocations as a real possibility. What inspired you to say, this isn't good enough, we need to do more, we need to do better?
No, that's a great question. I started working in the vocations office about a year and a half ago. So I'm relatively new to the job. But from the very beginning, I recognized that there was no real great guide to kind of walk people through the process of discernment. There are books on discernment about, Ignatian spirituality and discerning of God's will, which are mm-hmm. excellent. There's vocation stories and witnesses one can hear about. But having a guide that kind of helps people walk through the questions that are in their own heart and learning how to bring those before God to discover his plan for their life. That's something I recognized from the very beginning and wanting to fill that. And so also having to do a video series, one, it made it so it's accessible to a larger audience, especially mm-hmm. during the pandemic, mm-hmm. seemed very appropriate. But then also, as I mentioned, with kind of St. Hildegard being an inspiration, wanting to make, to show how incarnational and concrete like a vocation truly is. Like I tell stories from my life. I show in the series, I show where things took place. So you get to see the places around Boston, the people, the communities, the churches that were so influential and important for me. And hopefully that helps people see in their own lives, like, yes, God has a calling. He has a plan for me in my life. And like, this is real. This is not just in my head.
Right.
This desire for sanctity and for holiness.
Friends, I'm in conversation with Father Michael Zimmerman of the Archdiocese of Boston. We're talking about a new program called Shuvias Domini, Know the Ways of the Lord, to help young men discern priestly vocations. You know, Father, when I was a young man, I had a sense that, well, God might have something to say to me, generic, just because I'm human, you know, do good and avoid evil, love God, love your neighbor as yourself, and that just applied to everyone. It was rather startling for me to discover that God had something unique and particular to say to me. Now, in your work in vocations, do you find that a similar dynamic, that wait, God has something in mind for me just because I'm this individual guy?
Yeah, I think people are shocked by that. I think you're absolutely right. You know, a lot of people live their faith in a way that they don't see their relationship with God as personal, and that he's invested in them and cares about them and has a plan for them that only they can do, like only they can satisfy. You know, that, yes, we're all called to holiness and to be great saints, but only me in my life, you know, the places and the times and the people that I meet, like only I can bring God's love into the world in that specific place and time.
Mm-hmm. Right, that there is something that God has equipped me for. I mean, I use the image sometimes of in God composing the symphony of creation. He has a note. He wants something that only you can contribute, and the overall effect is diminished if we don't give that. And yet there is a sense, you know, the world beats us down a lot. I mean, consumerism says we're always inadequate because our hair, our teeth, or our iPhone are somehow inadequate. And also the world has been beating us down since the time of the COVID interruption going on a year and a half, that we're isolated and we're either a death threat to others or others are a death threat to us. The idea of going out into the world and making disciples of all nations, that's a bit of a stretch. How do you begin to make that counterintuitive proposal that there is a great adventure that God is calling you to as a unique individual? How do you begin to make that case for young people?
Yeah, I think what you just mentioned, what the situation we find ourselves in is one governed by fear and like risk avoidance and self-preservation. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, like, that's not satisfying for our souls. You know, we're made for so much more. We're made for greatness, to give our lives as a gift and a sacrifice. And so I think in part one, and this is the series, and we can go more in depth in kind of the program that's involved, but it begins by recognizing we need freedom. You know, we need great interior freedom. And a big part of that is freedom from fear. Mm-hmm. In order to be truly alive. And then the second part kind of moves into becoming more aware of these deep desires within my heart for life, for greatness, for relationship, for all these things, you know, that God has made us for, and how living in this, I guess, as you said, like that kind of the way the culture suggests and society writ large does not tap into and does not allow. But no, we are made for so much more than that.
Well, you know, I'm thinking of the acronym MGTOW, MGTOW, men going their own way. And the ordinary way of, you know, winning a woman's heart, starting a family, starting a business, being an entrepreneur, being some kind of a hero, that's been, the opportunities for that have at least apparently been diminished. And the idea that there's something good in masculine initiative is contrary to the cult of, you know, masculinity is somehow toxic. And so we hear stories of young men just checking out. They're just going to sit in their parents' basement and smoke dope and play video games and use pornography because somehow that's safer. But Christ calls us out of that tomb, doesn't he?
Oh, he absolutely does. Absolutely. And even in those vices that you mentioned, like they're frustrated and they're diminished in a virtual form of these desires written within our heart, you know, pornography instead of like intimacy and romance and beauty and love, or playing video games instead of, you know, fighting against evil and sin, you know, fighting for the kingdom of God, or just, or in that video games or watching movies or whatever, like, yeah, we're made for adventure. We're made for, you know, God has a great plan and we're the hero of this story. So yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot, people live this, you know, life of quiet desperation. And men are kind of oftentimes just shut down and told, yeah, that their desires and their masculinity is bad. And yes, a man is dangerous to some extent. But it's a good kind of danger. It's a, you know, he's dangerous. He can be made dangerous for the Lord and for good things.
Okay. No, and part of the masculine charism is risk and adventure, heroism and sacrifice. Friends, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Father Michael Zimmerman of the Archdiocese of Boston. We're talking about learning to hear God's call. In the next segment, we're going to get into the nitty gritty of how to hear God's voice among the noise of daily life. Remember, our rallying cry here at the Catholic Current is Christus Mundo, Mundus Christo, bringing Christ to the world and the world to Christ. We do it because our Lord says so, for the greater glory of God, the love of our neighbor, and the salvation of our own soul. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Stay with us.
This is Rick Paolini
and Father Jacek Mazur.
Join us every Sunday morning at 11 for a Divine Mercy in My Soul.
We are in a time of mercy.
Absolutely.
But we must take advantage of it.
That's, I was just about to say, we need to take a good advantage of it, make good use out of it in order to be treated with mercy at the end.
So tune in for Divine Mercy in My Soul every Sunday morning at 11.
And catch the encore presentation every Tuesday evening at 8.
Jezu ufam tobie.
Jesus, I trust in you.
You're listening to The Catholic Current with Father Robert Matejka from the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network. Stay connected with the show, our guests, and topics by following the show on Twitter and Gab. Just search for The Catholic Current.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. I'm speaking with Father Michael Zimmerman of the Archdiocese of Boston. We're talking about learning to discern God's call, God's calling in your life. Father, there's a lot of things that work against discernment. There's noise, there's distraction, there's addiction, there's discouragement, there's the old-fashioned, the world, the flesh, and the devil. I've had vocation directors who say that the biggest obstacle they have to promoting priestly and religious vocations are the mothers of young men, because by gum, they've only got one son, and they're going to have grandchildren, damn it. So you've got your work cut out for you, and you've developed a very innovative approach. Can you tell us about the practicalities of your particular program, and then we'll go from there?
Absolutely. So the CVS Discernment City series that Vocations Boston just started to put together is 27 episodes, accessible on Facebook, YouTube, or through our website, vocationsboston.org. And each episode is only 5 minutes. So it's very brief, very accessible, but with meant to be beautiful and also to have lots of good advice and examples from my life and my discernment as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, and I like to tell people I'm only a good example of a bad example. And I don't like to point to myself, but I said that I can't offer you the best illustration, but the illustration that I know best is myself. So part of what you're doing is you're walking through how you found your own vocation. It wasn't a straight line, and it wasn't without setbacks or detours. Can you give us a little background on your own vocation, please?
So, in high school is when I really came to my faith and becoming more active in it. And when I was a senior in high school, I was on a retreat and was feeling, you know, very good or on a retreat high. And they asked the question, what are you willing to offer God? What are you willing to give him? And feeling good, I was like, yes, God, whatever you want. You know, I want to give to you. I want to offer it. And he asked, you know, I heard, what about your future? What about your girlfriend? And I ran away at that point. I was like, God, I'm not ready for that kind of commitment. I'm not ready for any of that. But then, you know, that sense kept coming back kind of year after year when I was in college, freshman year and then sophomore year. And in big part, it was through the example of a religious community of brothers at the college I was at, seeing their life, seeing their community, their prayer, their work that they did. I began to see, oh, this is a beautiful life. You know, I could see myself doing this. And so with their guidance, I began to take discernment much more seriously.
Well, you know, in my own life, I was in doctoral studies at the Catholic University of America when I met the great Jesuit Father Robert Spitzer. We had the same dissertation director, and I was in business, and he was teaching at Georgetown and studying with me at Catholic University. And I used to call him from my office and say, Father, there's got to be more. There's got to be more. The business treadmill just wasn't for me. The cul-de-sac of mere academia wasn't for me. And he himself, you know, he was heir to a very considerable family fortune. He was groomed to be an accountant and take it all over. And one day he said he woke up screaming, no more lobotomies, no more lobotomies. There has to be a sense of we're meant for something more. We're meant for something greater than just business as usual. So there is a kind of discomfort that is the beginning. What happens next? If a young man starts scratching his head and says, you know, somebody said most men are leading lives of quiet desperation. I meet them every day. I wonder if there's another option for me. What's next?
No, that's a great question. And I think kind of a few essentials for somebody who finally recognizes that they're not satisfied with their life. Definitely one essential is prayer, you know, bringing it before the Lord in prayer. I especially recommend before the Blessed Sacrament, and bringing our heart to Jesus and saying like, I'm not happy, you know, becoming more aware of this and like I want more from life. And, you know, the Lord will start to guide us and show us in that. Recognizing that, yeah, he does have a plan for us, but that our hunger, our dissatisfaction, like leading us to a relationship with God, and slowly with time, we grow in that relationship. We come to know who Jesus is and that I can trust him and that whatever he asks of me is going to be what will make me happy, what will be best for my salvation and that of the whole world.
Friends, I'm speaking with Father Michael Zimmerman of the Archdiocese of Boston. We're talking about coming to know the ways of the Lord in order to discern one's vocation. I think it's, you know, part of hearing God's will is you have to practice really basic spiritual hygiene. You know, pray every day, trying to avoid sin, leading a sacramental life, frequenting the sacrament of confession, I think, is absolutely dispensable. And lots of people are told, you need a spiritual director. Great. What is that? And how is it different from therapy? And how does it differ from shooting the breeze with a friend over a cup of coffee or a beer?
Yeah, we definitely, you know, we need guidance in our lives. Like, and a big part of that can come through a spiritual director. I would most often be for a man to be, it would be a priest or somebody who's definitely at least more spiritually mature than him and somebody who can be confidential and trustworthy. The way I often view good spiritual director is somebody who is like a mirror. They're able to help me see more clearly how God is working in my life. You know, they're able to ask the questions or, you know, provide a little guidance, but they show me like, who the spiritual director, the Holy Spirit, how he's leading me and guiding me more clearly.
Right. The image I use, I borrow from St. Ignatius, is, you know, the real one spiritual director is the Holy Spirit. And what I can do is help to train your ear to hear the Holy Spirit and then to help you identify what facilitates or blocks your responding to the Holy Spirit. My experience with spiritual direction is There aren't enough of them, and there certainly aren't enough qualified ones, and the good ones are always too committed, spread too thin. So how can your program help if a young man says, hey, I'm really serious. I think I'm made for something else, and I know I can't walk this path alone. Does your program make spiritual direction available to a young man who's really serious about finding God's will in his life?
So in the Archdiocese of Boston and the Vocations Boston, our office, yeah, we definitely try to connect men with spiritual directors. Mm-hmm. But this video series provides a help even if somebody is having trouble with that. Right. Because regardless in our life, we do need a guide. We need fathers to show us how to walk, you know, and how to follow Christ. And so this video series, Shivyas, attempts to be a guide for somebody who's wrestling with these questions of, as you mentioned, dissatisfaction in their life and wanting to live more fully out the desires that God has placed in their heart so that they can truly come alive and do God's will for them. So this guide does attempt to, through the videos, and actually there's a guidebook as well with kind of reflection questions and scripture passages to pray with and other things to really help somebody bring these things before the Lord.
Yeah. I want to make a special shout out to our friends in Boston, especially our listeners who listen at 1060 AM. This is especially meant for you. This is something that's local for you. Make sure that you check out vocationsboston.org. One of the reasons that you support Catholic Radio so generously is so that we can begin to meet some of those local needs. Father, what is the role of friendship in developing a vocation? I think that's essential. I think it's often overlooked.
I think that's a great question. I think, so first, fundamentally, there's our friendship with Jesus Christ. In the video series, one of the first stories I give is about St. Peter and his calling. You know, from the beginning, Jesus says, come and follow me. But it's only much later on does St. Peter hear his specific vocation. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And that's only after Peter recognizes that Jesus is the Messiah. He's come to know Jesus. And through his friendship with Christ, he comes to know his own vocation. So I think our relationship and coming to trust Jesus is first and foremost. But then that also has to be incarnate in through friendships with real other physical people before us also.
Right.
So, you know, if somebody's thinking about the priesthood, you know, seeing the life and witness and being in relationship with a priest is really important.
Right. I also think, too, that there is an indispensable part of emotional and mental and social maturity that comes from developing strong, healthy, chaste friendships with men and women. And having done formation work for religious life and for seminarians as well, that's something as a formator that I always always look for. You know, does the man have a history of strong, robust friendship?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, that is something we, in the vocations office, we are asking, you know, men is like, how do you form friendships? What do your friendships look like? Because we grow as individuals through relationship with other people. And if we're not in good friendships and relationships with other people, then we're probably not growing. And so it's definitely an essential thing. And as a priest also, a priest has to be a man of community and a man of communion, bringing people to God.
Right. Yes, I think it's important to see that to be a priest is not to be in isolation. That you are meant to be a shepherd, that you're meant to go out, you're meant to gather the lost, and you have to be available to people in the times of their most intense joys and also in their greatest sorrows. And, you know, grace builds on nature, and you don't have to be a social butterfly, but I think you do have to be, you have to be socially skilled, or otherwise you... you know, you won't be the type of instrument in our Lord's hands that that the church needs right now. If there's someone who's shaking their head and says, I don't know, this sounds too much like wishful thinking. These guys are just used car salesmen. We got about a minute left. How would you respond to someone who's skeptical about what we're talking about today?
So I'm not trying to sell anything. You know, if I had a selling point that convinced somebody to become a priest, then they're probably not made out for it. Mm-hmm. But rather, you know, we are looking for men who are desiring to grow in holiness and to do God's will for their lives. And if, you know, that's the kind of man that I think could become a priest, it would make a good priest. So if men desire greatness, desire holiness, and to serve God and his church, you know, God's the one who's going to be leading them and calling them. And my job is simply just to help them to recognize that and to respond to that.
Right. Again, we come back to that the Holy Spirit is the real spiritual director, you know, and I don't make a sale for a religious community. I don't make a sale for priesthood. I just can help someone confirm whether or not God is making that call. Friends, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Father Michael Zimmerman of the Archdiocese of Boston. We're talking about knowing the ways of the Lord and hearing a vocational call. In the next segment, we're going to talk about what next. If you start to walk down that road, what do you have to look forward to? After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Whatever podcast platform you use, you can find us there. Follow us, write a review. We need to attract the attention of the algorithms so that these conversations get the attention they deserve. Let's do it together. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is The Catholic Current from the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network. Catch up on an episode you've missed or share them with your family or friends. The Catholic Current is podcasted wherever you enjoy listening. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McKeag of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. I'm speaking with Father Michael Zimmerman from the Archdiocese of Boston. We're talking about knowing the ways of the Lord, discerning a vocation in your life. So, Father, let's say there's a generous young man. He's making his way through college. He realizes that what other people are getting excited about aren't for him. The getting on the path of more and more acquisition, more and more prestige, isn't for him. The hookup and drinking culture at his local college, that doesn't impress him. And he knows that his pastor seems to be a pretty happy, satisfied, energetic man. And he begins to wonder, I wonder if he can follow in his footsteps. Let's take that young man. We'll call him Fred. How do we walk Fred through the process?
Yeah, great question. Well, welcome, Fred. I think for a lot of men are in this situation where they are questioning, what am I supposed to do with my life? You know, the offerings of the world don't seem to satisfy it. And what should I do? And the thought of going to a vocations director is somewhat very intimidating because they think, you know, if I make a phone call, like maybe I'm called to the priesthood, they think they're signing their life away on the dotted line already. Mm-hmm. They think, well, you know, what does this mean? What's going to happen? And so there's a lot of fear just even really addressing those questions, because we're afraid if I ask the question, what if I get an answer I don't like? But oftentimes what I find is a lot of men do put this off, and then they come, you know, 20 years later, 30 years later, and they're still wrestling with this question and this uncertainty of, I'm still not satisfied with my life. And so they can't escape the question, and right. We can't escape the question of our lives. And so I think first and foremost, just to recognize, like, we can't live in fear. We can't run from ourselves. We can't run from God. You know, rather, let's bring ourselves to God as we are and address these questions that's in our heart so that we can have peace and we can have clarity. And that's where we're going to experience joy and happiness as well. So a vocation. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, for a young man who's wondering about this, ignoring it is not a good strategy. It's not going to bring you
foremost,
peace.
Yeah.
It's not going to bring you freedom, and it's not going to help you make a good decision. So go ahead, Father.
Yeah. So I think that's the first thing, just acknowledging that. And therefore, you know, bringing this to whether that's the pastor that you know and trust, but also a vocations director as well. Their job is to help you come to know God's plan for your life. And if you're not called to be a priest, then I'm not going to want you to become a priest.
Right.
You know, we're not trying to just force more men to become priests. No, we want holy, holy men that God is calling to become priests.
Right.
So go ahead.
No, I said we want men who can live priesthood peacefully and fruitfully. So a young man begins to initiate the conversation and just says, hey, you know, I've got this restlessness. I've got some wondering. In any case, it's good to draw closer to God. What do you have to say to me, Father?
Yeah. And so I would, my recommendation would be, you know, I talk to get to know them, like what's going on in their life, what's going on in their heart. What are the things that do satisfy you or the things that that don't? And so, and a big part of it is just helping you get to know yourself better, your fears, your desires. That's a big part of what this Shivyas Discernment video series is about. Mm-hmm. But a conversation with the vocation director is all about that as well. And then learning to see that a prayer life is very essential to this. Like, God is the only one that has the answers to these questions. He's the one who's made you. He knows what's in your heart. And he knows what's going to satisfy your desires. So learning to grow in that relationship with the Lord is a really key thing as well.
Right. Learning to hear the Master's voice, learning to hear what only he can say to you, and learning to hear what only he can ask of you is absolutely indispensable. So Fred says, all right, I want to take the next step. I want to grow in my prayer life. You know, I'll commit to daily prayer. I'll commit to Mass and Holy Hour as often as possible. I'll commit to confession every 2 weeks. Say Fred used to go once a month. So he wants to up his game. He's willing to meet with a spiritual director that you identify as qualified. What do they begin to talk about?
So in spiritual direction, you know, I think the basic thing to bring before the spiritual director is just what's going on in your prayer life, what's going on in your life, bringing those things before the Lord and these exact things that you find to be not satisfying. And I think just to pivot slightly, so there's this whole internal dimension of my prayer life, my relationship with God. Another thing that is really important as well is taking external steps and kind of exploring and discovering a lot of men, young men, like their only knowledge of what a priest does and who he is they're going to Sunday Mass or going right to confession. And therefore, a priest kind of seems like an alien. He seems like this foreign figure that I really can't see myself being because it just seems to not be a full life.
Right.
So getting to visit, get to a vocations director, we can help you meet seminarians, men who are just, you know, a few steps ahead in their discernment to kind of be able to share their life, to see what life at the seminary is like, to see what moved them to enter seminary. And a lot of times that can speak to our hearts as well. So, you know, getting to know priests, seminarians, the seminary, that's a really important step as well.
Right. I think you have to move it out of abstraction. I mean, when I started my discernment with the Society of Jesus, I started meeting Jesuits who were happy, who were effective, which was very different from most of the men I was meeting in either academia or in business, by the way, and then begin to talk about their, you know, their ups and downs and why they stay with it when things are hard. Friends, I'm speaking with Father Michael Zimmerman of the Archdiocese of Boston. We're talking about knowing the ways of the Lord, learning to hear God's call. So he says, hey, you know, this is starting to work for me. I think I can see myself doing it. I realize now that Father doesn't just live in the sacristy and come out on Sunday mornings, that he has a real life throughout the week. It might be a life worth living. I visit the seminary. What's expected of me as a young man? What do I need to bring to the table?
Yeah, so a really helpful, I guess, axiom or principle to keep in mind is that action leads to certainty, not the other way around. We a lot of times we live our lives thinking, all right, I have to have perfect certitude before I can make a decision. That's how we shop online. You know, I've got to look at all the options. And that leads to paralysis.
Right.
And we never make a decision. We never move. But rather, if we start to take steps towards something, then by living that and taking those steps, I come to a greater certitude that, yes, this is right. I feel peace. I feel joy doing this and moving in this direction. And those can be signs that this is what God is calling me to.
So we'll say that he makes a good discernment. He talks with the right people, and he says, you know what, I'm going to make an application to the seminary. Is there a form he fills out, or is there an online survey? How does that work?
So for the Archdiocese of Boston, at least, we have the application is only given by invitation. So first, they do have to get to know the vocations director, because personal relationship and getting to know the person is very important, because this is a person who's, you know, considering being a priest, which means being configured to Jesus Christ, their entirety. So we get to know anyone that we would invite to apply to the seminary. And then the stages of application begins with an autobiography, kind of just getting to know who you are, your background, and this sense of calling that you're experiencing. An essay just on what is the priesthood about? What is your understanding of the promises that a priest make and the life of ministry of a priest? And then there are, we do an interview with a diocesan priest, a psychological evaluation, all to get to know you and to get to know if God is actually calling you to the priesthood. And so, you know, somebody goes through this application process. We kind of help guide them through it. And even when somebody goes to seminary, that is a time of discernment as well. Now, somebody shouldn't just enter seminary with no sense of calling whatsoever.
Right.
But that time in seminary is really essential to know if somebody's called to be a priest. They not only have academic studies, but there's a lot of time for prayer and community and growing in this sense of identity. Is this what God calling me to be a priest? And that time in seminary is really essential. So it's not like somebody goes in and then they're guaranteed, you know, they're automatically become a priest. But a lot of men, they go in, they continue to discern, and they realize, no, this is not what God's calling me to. And they leave with, you know, greater peace and clarity.
Right. And I think having that increase in peace and clarity and freedom is absolutely essential for responding to God, whatever he calls you to. So there's a sense that in seminary, you sit in a chapel and sigh a lot, and then you learn how to say Mass and maybe how to call bingo. And that's about it. Of course, that's not it. What might a young man have to look forward to in the seminary?
I mean, my years in seminary were really great years. I formed many great friendships with priests that I still are some of my closest friends. So there's a strong sense of fraternity and friendship.
Yes.
And those friendships rooted in Christ are the deepest and the most powerful and the most beautiful as well, I would say. So that's a huge thing about seminary life, is that friendship that seminarians form together. And it's not just about prayer, as you said, just sitting around in the chapel, but, you know, a lot of men, we would go and play sports together. Like, we had soccer tournaments, frisbee tournaments, football. You know, there's lots of just good, normal life that we would share together as well. In the seminary, there is the academic portion, getting to study, philosophy and theology. So if you love God and you love studying about God, then seminary is a great place to be.
Right.
I get to teach at the seminary a little scripture for the first year students. And it's awesome to see just how they grow in their knowledge and their love of the Lord through scripture.
You know, I've worked at and I've interviewed at a lot of seminaries, a lot of religious formation programs, and I always ask the same question, and I realize we need about a half hour for this, and we've got a minute. How do you know when the process is working? What does a good product of a seminary look like?
A good product of a seminary is a good priest, first
right.
and foremost.
Right.
You know, are they somebody who is... just a good man, like a good human being? Are they a good man, able to be a true father to other people? And then are they able to be a priest, making sacrifices and leading others to grow in holiness through their ministry? So I would kind of maybe put it in that order of, like, you know, we're human beings, first of all, and then we're called to be men and fathers, and then spiritual fathers through the priesthood.
Right. Well, and I agree with all that you said in that process. Young men, if you're thinking about whether or not God is calling you to more, there is no greater adventure, I believe, than to distinguish oneself in the service of Christ the King, to love and serve the people whom he loves and serves. And there's an intimacy with Christ that is matchless. And as an elderly priest told me when I was ordained, now you will know the greatest joys, for you will be meeting the greatest needs. Father Michael Zimmerman of the Archdiocese of Boston, God bless your good work. Let's have a follow-up conversation before long.
Absolutely. God bless.
I'm Jesuit Father Robert McKeag, your host here at The Catholic Current. Follow what we're following by following us on Gab. That's GAB.com. Our channel is The Catholic Current. Stay with us for the rest of the hour. It's going to be you and me with Weekend Readiness, looking at the headlines of the week in light of the upcoming Sunday Scriptures. You can be all prayed up for Sunday Mass. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Stay with us.
Hi, everyone. It's Debbie Giorgiani and Jerry Usher here, and we just want to remind you, we are close to our goal, 90% of overall full funding here at the Station of the Cross.
It is imperative that we hear from you. Please, if you pledge during the fund drive and you can spare a little bit more, great. If you didn't get a chance, we need you right now, and call 877-711-8500, and you can donate anytime online at thestationofthecross.com and, of course, on your iCatholic Radio app.
After today's broadcast, go to the Catholic Current Show page on thestationofthecross.com for info on today's guests, the show resource links, and to sign up for our weekly email of upcoming shows.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. It's Friday, and that means we round up the show with Weekend Readiness, you and me reflecting on the headlines of the week in light of the upcoming Sunday Scriptures, so that you can be all prayed up for Sunday Mass. If you're following along on the Novus Ordo calendar or the Pauline Rite, we're looking at the sixth Sunday of Easter, Lectionary 56. It's ironic that the scriptures in this part of the lectionary speak of love very frequently, because when you look at the headlines, not seeing a lot of love. I'm just not. We see accusation, denunciation, suspicion, vilification, cancellation, all the issues and asians that you can think of. This is not good. This is discouraging. We're obviously made for something better. And we know that from the scriptures. We read again and again that God is love, that he made us for love. We read in the first epistle of St. John, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God." And then our Lord says in the Gospel of St. John, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love." Well, okay. What does that look like, that love? Well, I tell you what, it's almost certainly not what you've been told it is recently. Let me give you some examples. You've been told all love counts. You've been told there is no such thing as too much love. And you've been told love is the only thing that matters. And if you approach that in a true or false quiz, you might say, well, it depends. If by love you mean the very strong emotions I'm feeling right now, well, then no, you'd have to say it's false. Early Christian writers spoke of amor benevolentiae, poorly translated as benevolent love, but it means so much more. Amor benevolentiae is wishing, wanting, willing, desiring, urging, working for the best for the beloved. And what's best for the beloved, of course, is God Himself. And if what you're doing isn't bringing that person closer to God, if what you're doing isn't helping facilitate that person becoming what God made him to be, which is body and soul in union with Him in the happiness of heaven, then it's not love, regardless of your emotional state at the moment. And also, we can love someone without necessarily liking them. Our Lord does tell us to pray for enemies. I've offered Mass for the repose of the soul of people who, at least in their professional lives, I really didn't like, but I don't want to begrudge them the grace necessary for salvation, and I don't want to begrudge God the victory that He wants in relation to another soul. So being a good Jesuit, or at least trying to be, let's turn to St. Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Society of Jesus. He says the hallmark of love is the exchange of gifts between the lover and the beloved. Now, God does give us everything. He creates us out of nothing, which is an absolute act of generosity. And He gives us the material world. He gives us the elements. He gives us the creatures. And then He gives us the order of grace. He gives us the order of the Spirit. He gives us a rational soul and freedom of will, which makes us moral, like Him. And then when we abused our spiritual gifts and brought upon ourselves sickness and death and the destruction of creation, God decided to save us at a very terrible cost to Himself. And St. Ignatius says, when I reflect on all that God has done for me in the order of creation, in the material order, in the spiritual order, in the order of grace, I should be overcome. He writes, I will reflect upon myself and consider, according to all reason and justice, what I ought to offer the divine majesty, that is, all I possess and myself with it. Thus, as one would do who is moved by great feeling, I will make this offering of myself. And then he writes out what is the most famous prayer in the life of St. Ignatius, known by the first word in Latin, the Suscipe, which runs as follows. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and possess. Thou hast given all to me. To Thee, O Lord, I return it. All is Thine. Dispose of it wholly according to Thy will. Give me Thy love and Thy grace, for this is sufficient for me. And with that understanding of love, in light of the madness we see in the headlines, and in light of the foolishness we've been told about love, we can offer some charitable, truly pastoral, and thoroughly Catholic corrections. In response to the statement, all love counts, we can say, all love counts only if it's real love. And real love always aims at moving the beloved closer to God by imitating God, by working for the best for the beloved, which, of course, is God Himself. And then we can respond rightly to the statement, there is no such thing as too much love. Well, if love is too much, then it ceases to be love and becomes something else, something that God that does not help move the beloved closer to God. True love is measured by the rightness of its purpose and not intensity of feelings. And the rightness of the purpose of love is union with God as God has revealed Himself. And finally, the statement, love is the only thing that matters. Well, if the love in question is real love, that is, it includes the truth about human life and divine life, as we know from natural law and divine revelation. In other words, real love always considers more than just emotions. In this world that is obviously and aggressively and progressively losing its mind, in this world, which seems to be moving more and more towards a vacuum of charity, which is really a dress rehearsal for hell, we have to step up and we have to teach the world again how to love. And we do that not by sentiment and not by emotion, and certainly not by denying human nature, divine revelation, or the moral law, or the order of grace. We have to teach the world to love again by imitating God, giving the best for the beloved, and the best for the beloved is God Himself. And Catholics in particular have something special to give in teaching love, the imitation of Christ crucified, risen, reigning, and returning. The source and summit of all love is the sacrifice at Calvary, made present again in the holy sacrifice of the Mass. If we want to bring the world to love properly, let's teach them how to worship God with dignity, with solemnity, with beauty, according to the mind of Christ. This is the Church's greatest gift to the world. May God's holy name be praised, now and forever. I'm Jesuit Father Robert McTagg, your host Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern here at the Catholic Current. You want to join us on Monday? We'll be meeting Sarub Sharma of American Moment, asking him, corporations, friend or foe? It's an important conversation to have. Through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, may God our Lord surrender you with a legion of guardian angels with flaming swords to light your path, to protect you from all harm and every evil, until you reach the happiness of heaven. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Go in peace, and please do pray for me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by the stationofthecross.com, a listener-funded nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please prayerfully consider donating at thestationofthecross.com by calling 1-877-888-6279 or through our free iCatholic Radio mobile app.